The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Zen Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Our talk this evening will be offered by Dharma holder Alan Richardson.
Book of Serenity, case number 20. Dizong's most intimate. Dizong asked Fayan, "Where are you going?" Fayan said, "I am wandering aimlessly." "What do you think of wandering?" "I don't know." "Not knowing is most intimate." Fayan was suddenly enlightened. So here we are wandering aimlessly together, riding this scooter that we call Sesshin, that takes us to surprise after surprise after surprise. And one little surprise might have been in the version of the koan I read you, which is the one that we use currently in our koan curriculum, because it doesn't include the word pilgrimage. And the translation David read us did, I think it was wandering aimlessly on pilgrimage. I don't have that one, but one that I do have says, "I pilgrimage aimlessly." I didn't know pilgrimage could be a verb, but I guess it is. "I pilgrimage aimlessly." And another is, "around on a pilgrimage." And I'm thinking this could be a surprise because we might not automatically think of a pilgrimage as having anything to do with wandering aimlessly. If you grew up as I did in a country where Christianity is the majority religion, even if you never practiced it or believed it, you probably received certain ideas about pilgrimage from the culture. And pilgrimage would normally, I think, be to a certain destination. And it would often have an aim, a goal. And that might be exactly what distinguishes a pilgrim from a tramp, this destination, this goal, who otherwise the pilgrim might resemble quite closely. So you encounter a pilgrim at a crossing of roads, and you establish that they're a pilgrim. There they are with their pilgrim's raggedy clothes and their pilgrim's knapsack and their pilgrim's staff. And you might ask, "So where are you headed? To Jerusalem? To Rome? To Mecca? To Assisi? To Plymouth Rock? To Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris and Jim Morrison's grave?" All these are pilgrimage sites. But our pilgrim says, "No, nowhere in particular. Just pilgrimaging. No destination. Not even I'll know when I get there. Just on a pilgrimage." I'm not sure that we would accept that immediately. I wonder if we would decide that this pilgrim was a tramp after all. But in this context of Zen, of Chan Buddhism, it seems that a pilgrimage would have to be aimless. I pilgrimage aimlessly. I am wandering aimlessly. For the pilgrimage to have an aim would mean it had a goal. And a goal-directed Zen practice always defeats itself. Fayan could have said, "Well, I've been visiting various teachers. David mentioned that this was a practice at the time, and I saw this teacher and that teacher, and I'm searching for deeper understanding, and I just saw this teacher, and now I'm here." And if he had said that, Dizong might have said, I spare you 60 blows, which is just what happens in a different koan. But instead, Fayan says, I pilgrimage aimlessly. I'm wandering aimlessly. No special place to get to. But to wander aimlessly, I think, is different than to wander pointlessly. This has been coming up for me today. To wander aimlessly is to wander with no special goal in mind, no fixed destination, no need to be anywhere special, to find a blessing or an absolution or lay a wreath or a flower on someone's grave. That's the aimless part, but it's not pointless because the point is the wandering itself. If the wandering had an aim, there would be less emphasis on the wandering itself. The wandering would be pushing towards a goal, not appreciating the very experience of wandering. Wandering aimlessly, not wandering pointlessly. As I often recur to, I spent a number of years wandering on the Appalachian Trail, and I met many other people doing this as well. And I think most all of us started out with an aim, which was to hike the entire trail either all at once or over a number of years in spurts as I did. And many of us, and I know this from lots of conversations, came to feel that the point was not to get from Springer Mountain to Katahdin, the traditional endpoint. The point was to be on the trail. The point was the hiking. The point was the backpacking. The point was meeting people and birds and flowers and finding ourselves in environments we hadn't been in before and appreciating them, whether it was a beautiful sunny day or we were getting drenched in rain or our toes were freezing in the cold, savoring all of it. And if one didn't do all 21, 70, whatever miles, it wasn't really a problem anymore. That wasn't really the point after all. And if one did summit Katahdin, it didn't stop. You just kept going. You kept doing parts of the trail you loved and parts that were challenging and new trails. And the point was the wandering. The point was the backpacking. The point was putting one foot after another and savoring every step and every moment. And what's coming up for me today with these many chances to sit with you is how our sitting practice is like this. Our sitting practice is aimless, but it's not pointless. We don't sit with the aim of attaining special samadhi states. And we don't sit with the aim, most of us don't sit, and there are many ways to sit in various Buddhist traditions, but I think most of us here don't sit trying to attain a single-pointed concentration and maintain it for 25 minutes at a time. And we certainly don't try to go from one special samadhi state to another in a kind of graduated series. And this is done in some places, and I'm not criticizing those who teach it or do it, but it's not our way. Our way is to sit without a gaining idea and without a specific goal, but to sit aimlessly, but again, not pointlessly, to sit Pointlessly might be what we usually mean by mind wandering or daydreaming or wool gathering. Just letting the mind flit from this to that and no intention at all. And not criticizing that either, but it's not my way. And I think it's not most of our way. People who have spoken today, teachers and participants, have talked about an attitude of curiosity, which is different from mind wandering, which is very passive. But there's some activity in our zazen, some curiosity about just what's really happening here. And who's the one thinking after all? There's an a presence to whatever is coming up, and that might always include the breath, which never stops coming in and out, and the posture, the body, and then chance things. Melissa mentioned earlier today the dog barking and the Amazon truck arriving. And now it might be the light failing outside if you're in this time zone. And for me, the sound of water running upstairs, not sure if it's the shower or the washing machine, not really important. And a little knot in my back from a lot of chair sitting. And the strange feeling of a band-aid on my finger. I usually don't have one. I keep becoming aware of it. And quite a mix of emotions. I'm not sure really which ones they are. They seem to bleed into each other. And I'm feeling no need to name them or figure out just what they are. I'm letting them be a little inchoate and just staying with them. When we talk about curiosity, we don't mean an analytical curiosity. I'm not trying to parse them out and see, figure out just what I'm feeling. And we don't mean a what you could call an archaeological curiosity. I'm not trying to trace them back to something that happened recently or long ago. I leave that to psychotherapy. But just to sit with these feelings, just to be intimate with them, the way that one sits with an old friend in intimacy, you might talk together while you might not. You don't need to. Nothing needs to be said. Just that sitting with some attention and maybe loving attention to whatever or whoever you're with, whether it's a pain in your knee or a feeling of sudden joy in your heart, whatever it is. So, encouraging us all to continue this wandering aimlessly together, as we sit during this precious evening of this precious time together that may not come again, that I personally feel so grateful for, and that's right here. Thank you.